Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. We're going to read three verses to start the chapter, and then we're going to pick up with three more verses a little later. This is going to sound odd to you. I don't know how else to do this without making it confusing. I'm going to read verse 1. You'll read verse 2 with me. I'll read verse 3, and then we'll pick up a little bit later in the chapter. How's that sound? And we'll keep on here. I've got six verses we're going to read. They're just not all in a row, and I'm trying to give you back some time here tonight, and I didn't feel like it would be good to read 16 verses when I could put it in six verses. Amen? So, I read verse 1. You read verse 2 with me. I read verse 3, and then I'll show you where to go from there, all right? Joshua chapter 24, verses 1 through 3. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges, for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. Now, we're going to read verses 14 through 16 together. You start with me on verse 14. I'll read verse 15, and then we'll finish together on 16. Everybody got that? It's a little bit different, but everybody rattle your head if you understand what I mean. Okay. All right, you ready? Here we go on verse 14. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. And let's pray. Father, again, as we preach your word, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Lord, would you allow me to have your attention, and may the people be attentive to the words that you say through me tonight, so that they could get the truth that you have for us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Sorry, you got to grab the water. I knew I forgot something. Let me give you just a little bit of what's going on here in Joshua chapter 24, and then we'll jump into the message. Moses has been dead for just probably about 2, maybe as long as 3 years, not very long. Joshua has led the Israelites out of the wilderness, across the Jordan River, into the Promised Land. And for the last 2 years or so, they have been conquering Canaan land step by step. You have to understand, it is what we now know in part as the nation of Israel. That same piece of property. Now, it's a wealthy, productive, and beautiful place. God gave them the choicest, richest place on the face of the earth. It's nestled right in one of the most strategic spots in all the world. It is the only place where three continents come together. You have Europe, you have Asia, and you have Africa that all come together right there. It is a headquarters, plus you have the Mediterranean Sea, which leads you out to the Atlantic Ocean, and you have the Red Sea, which now has the ability to go down through the canal there and the Suez Canal and get out into the Indian Ocean and Pacific Ocean. It is in one of the most strategic places in all the world. Now, Joshua is about to cut everybody loose into this promised land, Canaan, the land that flows with milk and honey. And they've conquered the giants, they've conquered it, they've taken it piece by piece. He gathers all the leaders together. And by the way, no longer will the pillar of cloud lead them by night or by day to keep them warm. You see, out in the desert, that pillar of cloud hovered over the nation of Israel and sheltered them from the hot desert sunshine. That pillar of fire by night was their heater at night, because it gets cold out in the desert in the nighttime, doesn't matter what time of year. And that pillar of fire would warm them and keep them warm at a constant temperature throughout those 40 years while they wandered. No more will God send manna and they will eat of it every day. No more will their shoes and their clothing grow with them. Oh, to God, that would happen again today. But that's no longer going to be. They are now in the promised land. And though God is just as real as he was before to them, I'm going to use a term here, he's not going to hold them by the hand as he did in the wilderness. They now have beautiful homes that they did not have to build. They have farms, orchards, and vineyards that are heavy with productivity, and they didn't do the work. They have cities that were ready-made, as all they had to do is move in and go forward. The slavery of Egypt, the wandering of the wilderness, it's over. Success is theirs. Now listen to me. Joshua is giving final instructions for God. And one of the most amazing statements to me in the Bible is made. It just amazes me. 1,000 years have passed since the flood. It's been about 1,000 years since God destroyed the world by flood, when these Jews are taking over this promised land. And 4 times God says, from the other side of the flood. From the other side of the flood. From the other side of the flood. The other side of the flood. I want you to notice especially that at least 3 of those times it says, whom your fathers served, these false gods from the other side of the flood. Wow. Wait a minute. I thought everything had been destroyed by the flood. How could 1,000 years later God look at these Jews and say, the gods from the other side of the flood, don't you serve them? Why would God have to warn his chosen people whom he delivered to not follow the gods from the other side of the flood? I'll read just a couple verses out of Ecclesiastes 1 to you. You need not turn there. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath already been of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. Once you notice, God says in his word, there is no new thing under the sun. There is no new thing under the sun. Now listen to this statement. God is saying man is not creative. Now, we think we're pretty crafty and pretty creative. We think we can create. We can't create. We can modify, but we cannot create. We can't take nothingness and make something. We can take little and make something. You give my secretary a box or a piece of foam, and she can turn it into something. But she can't turn air into something. You all understand what I'm talking about? The word create means make something from nothing. Now, man has the ability to modify, change, what we would call improve, but virtually we're just redoing what's always been. if Henry Ford were still alive today, or Mr. Daimler, or Mr. Benz, who actually were the two that originally created the car. Henry Ford did not create the car. He was the first one to mass produce the car. But if you went back all the way to the original Model T, by the way, have you ever wondered why the Model T came before the Model A? Some of you women wouldn't know that that's true. But Henry Ford started building prototypes. In the first car that he built, he got all the way through the alphabet to T before he was satisfied with what he got, and that's how we got the Model T. About 20 years later, they finally convinced him to make a new model. And he got it right the first time, so he called it Model A. That's where those two cars came from. Did you know the same basic premise for the automobile hasn't changed in over 100 years? Do you know that the flywheel on the transmission and different things were there on the original car? Oh, we have electronic ignition instead of the old crank 'em up, amen. Thank God for that. But the only thing that's changed is instead of turning the crank, we turn the key. We improved it, but the same premise takes place. We've changed body styles, but the car works virtually the same identical way, and it has the same components that it did 115 years ago. It virtually is the same. Now, it may not look the same, but the internal combustion engine has changed very little. Oh, I realized back then you had carburetors. Some of you would not even know what that word is. But, amen, Brother Rick, I know what it is. Don't ask me to explain too far in detail how to fix it because I can't. But I can tell you what it is. Now, instead of carburetors, you have what they call electronic fuel injection. But it does the same thing that a carburetor did. We've just allowed electronics to take care of it versus gravity and timing. That's virtually the only difference. Now, listen to me very carefully. Ladies, do you realize fabric has changed very little in the last 3,000 or 4,000 years? You know, you can find clothing from 2,000 or 3,000 years ago, and fabric is very close to what it is today. It might not be colored the same way. It may be different thicknesses, but fabric is virtually the same as it was before. Very little has changed. Now, why would God have to warn these Jews not to follow the gods of Egypt and the gods from the other side of the flood? See, these Jews saw God tear down the Egyptian gods. The 10 plagues that God used with Moses, all 10 of those plagues dealt with 10 of the gods of Egypt. If you go back and study world history, you'll find out every one of those plagues, God was throwing down the gods of Egypt. Say, well, what about the firstborn? Pharaoh in the Egyptian culture was a god to the Egyptian people. Pharaoh's oldest son would have been the next Pharaoh, and God destroyed the next Pharaoh, which was throwing down another god. Everybody doing okay? Hang on with me. We're going somewhere. These Jews saw God feed them every day for 40 years with manna. These Jews saw God take care of their water that came out of a rock from a place in Horeb. And the Bible says that rock followed them. I don't know if they carried it. I don't know if it rolled around. I don't know that as they went through the wilderness that the influence of that rock followed them and the river. But to take care of the needs of 3.5 to 5 million people and their animals and everything they had, that's more than 3/4 of a day, more than 14 hours of the water that flows over the Horseshoe Falls at Niagara Falls every day had to come out of that rock to take care of the Jews. That's a lot of water. That's only at 10 gallons of water per person. The average American uses between 40 and 50 gallons of water a day. Everybody doing all right? That pillar of cloud, that pillar of fire, they saw it every day for 40 years. Why would God warn these Jews about following the false gods of Egypt and the gods from the other side of the flood? How would they have even known what those gods were from over 1,000 years ago? If I asked you to go back 1,000 years in world history and tell me what the gods of China were 1,000 years ago, probably nobody in here except maybe Brother Brining could tell you. Say why? Who cares? Who cares? Why would they want to follow false gods after all they have seen Jehovah God do? They have a brand new country handed to them from God, all the riches that came with it. Why would they want to follow some stupid false god? Now, how did these false gods make it from the other side of the flood? Did Noah bring a bunch of statues and put them on the ark? I don't believe that's true. I really don't. But listen to this. There were 8 people who came from the other side of the flood that made it through. These 8 people were sinners like you and me. And these 8 people saw what took place on the other side of the flood. Now listen to this. When man quits serving God and man starts following his own ways, he always goes back to the same gods that were on the other side of the flood. Listen to this statement. Do you realize God said the rapture will take place when our world is as in the days of Noah? Even so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. See, there were 8 people who came through the flood. They were the only 8 people who knew what was on the other side of the flood. And from the influence of those 8 people, those gods were carried across from the flood over 1,000 years. And God said to tell Joshua, to tell the people, hey, you listen up. You decide whether you're going to serve me or the gods who your father served over 1,000 years ago on the other side of the flood. There is nothing new under the sun. Let me show you what I mean. Number one. After the flood, probably sometime after the flood, Noah got drunk. Take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. That's the first book of the Bible, Brother Jim, just so you know. I'm trying to help you there. Okay. Ellen. That's in the front of the Bible, okay, not the back. Got it? All right. Genesis chapter 9, look at verse number 20. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken. Stop with me right there. Look at me. He began to be an husbandman, and he made wine and drank wine and became drunk. There are... be careful now. Don't crucify me. There are many different words in the Greek and the Hebrew for what we use in the English language. When the Lord talks about using wine for thy stomach's sake and wine for the Lord's Supper, he's talking about juice. As soon as the juice leaves the fruit, it's called wine. Not always is that word in reference to intoxication. when it is, God talks about be not drunk with wine wherein is an excess. Catch that? That's a different kind of wine. Now, listen to me very carefully. Noah brought with him the knowledge from the other side of the flood how to make alcohol. And Noah got drunk. That was knowledge from the other side of the flood. This is the same Noah that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Some of you would say, oh, I wonder if Noah was even saved. Well, who are you to say that? God used him to save the earth. Everybody doing all right? Alcohol fills our country like a drunken ocean. 225 billion with a B dollars a year are spent on alcohol in America every year. Almost a quarter trillion dollars. You can't go to a grocery store. You can't go to a gas station. You can't hardly go to a restaurant without alcohol being there. Used to be, you could go just about any. I remember, even in my lifetime, which is not that long ago, that in grocery stores, if the store was open, they had great big sheets and curtains, and they covered up the liquor section because they had blue laws. You couldn't sell it on Sundays. Matter of fact, back when I was a kid, most everything was shut down on Sunday. Would to God we got back to that again. No Christian has any business tasting filthy, nasty liquor from the other side of the flood. None. It's sin. By the way, I don't care if it's at the Catholic Church. I don't care if it's what they call the Lord's Supper. I don't care where it's at. You have no business taking part in alcohol anywhere. I got to tell this story. My kids are down here. My wife, they're going to laugh. I bought a house in Indiana. Brother Hiles helped me purchase a house. We moved in. A couple months later, I was moving some tools around, Brother Gus. And the people who had had the house before, there was a cabinet, a little bit bigger than this pulpit, in the garage. I thought, man, I got a place to put my tools. I walked out there, opened it up, and lo and behold, that thing was full of alcohol bottles. I mean, there must have been 30 or 40 bottles of stuff. My wife said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to use this to teach our kids something. And I think at that time I just had the two boys. I don't think Mindy was born, but if she was, she was too little to know anything was going on. That was just last year. It was just the two boys. I had two concrete, you know, those old lead or concrete utility sinks in the basement by the wash machines, you know, the big, deep ones. I said, boys, come on down. I mean, I had boxes full of these things. I'm carting down there. My wife said, what are you going to do? I said, they're going to help me. This is going to be a good teaching moment. I opened every one of those bottles. I made them sniff every bottle of that stuff. And we were pouring it out saying, whiskey's bad, wine's bad, alcohol's bad. They were about ready to barf from smelling this stuff. I'd open another one. Dad, please, don't make me. I wanted them so sick of it that they never, ever wanted to taste it. And my sweet, spiritual little wife, you can't put those in our trash. You're assistant pastor in the world's largest church. What's the trash man going to think? I said, good point. So we got a bunch of garbage bags, packed them up, and I went behind a couple stores and dumped them in their dumpster. Amen. Say why? I wasn't putting that out for my trash man. No way, Jose. Now, wait a minute. That's how bad I hate the stuff. Can I tell you something? I've seen what it does to families. I've seen what it does to marriages. I've watched how many people it's killed. Watched homes destroyed over it. It's a God from the other side of the flood. It is a God from the other side of the flood. I'll go on. Noah brought something else with him. Genesis chapter 9, verse 20 again. Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. Noah brought nakedness with him. I want everybody to listen to me extremely carefully here. Our society is based on how little a human being can wear and get away with it. They can't sell a hamburger, a car, or anything else without some naked woman on television or on a billboard stuck somewhere. By the way, I want you to notice it says that Noah was naked, not his wife. It's just as wrong for a man to be running around with no clothes on as it is a woman. That's not according to me, that's according to God. Everybody doing okay? Nakedness is an abomination to God. Take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 3. We're close enough. I'll show you something. I used this, oh good night, probably close to 8 months to a year ago, when man sinned. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves, what's this next word? Aprons. Okay, everybody look at me for a second. I'm not real smart, but an apron doesn't cover an awful lot of territory, does it? Apron virtually just covers the front from about here to about here. And it doesn't cover the back. It's kind of like one of those hospital gowns. Every time I've been at the hospital, I say, give me two of those. One for the front, one from the back. Because there's going to be people seeing me going. It's not just seeing me coming. I can't stand them things. Now, wait a minute. The Bible says that man made himself an apron. Now, I want you to notice something. I want you to see what God did. The Bible said that he made them coats. A little bit later, the Bible says that he killed the animals and he made them coats of skins. I almost brought my top coat here tonight. My top coat covers an awful lot of territory. It comes down below my knees, covers up my shoulders, my arms, everything. Man only covered up what he thought was necessary to cover up. God said it's necessary to cover from the bottom of the knees to your shoulders up. That's what God said. If you go to the book of Isaiah, he says, make bare thy leg, uncover thy thigh, make bare the leg. So if you're showing your thighs, man or woman, God says that's nakedness. People need to cover their tops. By the way, there's nothing appealing, fellas, about you taking your shirt off mowing the grass. Your scrawny, hairy chest doesn't impress anybody. Or your blubbery, hairy chest doesn't impress anybody. You look like a barrel with the whiskers growing on it, amen? Forget it. Now, wait a minute, ladies. God says cover it up. Hollywood is obsessed with how little they can wear. By the way, I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Nakedness is a god. That's what we say. Well, have you seen pictures from the Renaissance era of all the naked people? They called that art. Yeah, they were filthy, vile, wicked people too. You've accepted what liberals told you is something that is not true. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun right now. Told you I wasn't going to be as nice tonight. So, one of the gods was alcohol. One of the gods was nakedness. Hang on. Let's read Genesis chapter 9 again. Verse 21. And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. By the way, he wasn't running around. He was in his own house. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it upon both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine, watch this, and knew what his younger son had done unto him. Listen to this statement. Ham, Noah's son, brought sodomy from the other side of the flood.
Yes, sir. That's right.
The homosexual movement in America and in our world today is a God from the other side of the flood. Now listen to me very carefully. Ham, now don't get mad at me. Everybody look at me. I love you. This has nothing to do with racial, I'm not against any race. Good night. But I just want you to notice something. Ham fathered the nations of Africa. Where is Egypt? Africa. Whom your father served, the gods from the other side of the flood and the gods of Egypt. Ham was the father of the African people. Shem was the father of the Europeans in the Middle Eastern, and Japheth was the father of the Asian people. If you go through the genealogies in the book of Genesis, you'll find out exactly that is right. Okay? Now listen to me very carefully. What continent in the world hates God any more than the African continent? Between the Muslims and the, and I'll use this term, and I don't mean it because of anybody's race. I don't care what color they are, white, black, green, purple, or chartreuse. But the African nation people, the jungle type people, are believing in voodoo and all these other things. And I know what I'm talking about. The false religions of today all originated, almost every one of them, from Africa, including Buddhism in Asia and Hinduism. Everybody doing okay? I'm asking you to study world history. By the way, I'm not for us in our in our country calling everybody African American, German American, Dominican Republic American, Cuban American. Good night. If you're an American, you're an American. Period. End of discussion. Amen. Let's face it. We have done more to divide our country with those labels than anything.
That's right.
Now, my enemies can get real mad at me. I use a term, sodomites. That is a biblical term. It is a biblical term. Do you know what the major symbol of the sodomites today is? It's a rainbow.
Yes, sir.
Do you know what God said the rainbow was for? His promise not to destroy the world by a flood. They have taken a truth from the Bible saying God is for the sodomites and he won't destroy us. They have perverted scripture for their sodomy. Brother Taylor, some of you older crowd, when you were growing up, the word gay was a good word. It meant happy. Anybody under the age of 50, if you use that word, you're like, okay, that's an offensive term. Anybody over the age of 60 or 70 probably said, man, we have really perverted a good word in America. And we have. As in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. I hate to tell you something. Sodomy is one of the gods from the other side of the flood. Okay, last point. Everybody take a good deep breath. Okay, here we go. What are you bringing from the other side of the flood in your life? Now, everybody look at me for a second. We could, and I'm going to do something I rarely do, but the flood and the ark are a picture of salvation. I really believe it was the salvation of humankind, and it's a picture of God's salvation of us personally. Let me ask you a question. What are you bringing into your life that you brought from before you got saved? What do you struggle with that you have in your life? By the way, some of you got saved as a child and you're struggling with the false gods of people that were from the other side of the flood. Everybody doing okay? I'm just going to go ahead and make a positional statement. Everybody ready? This church does not want to be like the world. I don't want to be like those from the other side of the flood. I have no desire to play the world's music in church to attract people. I am here to play the music God made and to sing the songs that God has for us. We're not going to be like the world to reach the world. They don't want the world. They want something different. We don't need to be another one of these ho-hum, let's look like the world, let's act like the world, let's dance like the world, let's praise and worship like the world, and let's bounce up and down and dance around and hug everybody, and you can't tell the difference between that and the average nightclub. God forbid. I don't want Grace Baptist Church to ever be a church like a church from the other side of the flood. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang on. We're not going to have drum sets in here. Amen. Ever. We're not going to have the worldly music. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. We're not going to have a Baptist church that has a praise and worship service. Amen. We're not going to have a worship team get up and lead the singing. Amen. Brother Stoltz isn't going to come out in his turtleneck sweater, no tie on, in his flip-flops, in his blue jeans. Man, that would be even uglier than what we got now. And come out with the words and you follow the bouncing ball on the screen and say, okay, let's all praise him now. Gag.
Amen.
There is no such thing as public worship anywhere in Scripture. We're to worship him in the privacy of our own life.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? Well, I just love God so much. You're like the hippies from the 70s. Shut up. I love my wife, but I'm not going to show all the expressions of love to my wife in front of the whole world. Everybody doing okay? God doesn't want you to be like that either. Materialism isn't going to be a god at Grace Baptist Church. We're not going to be the fanciest church in town. I'm not worried about being the fanciest church. We're going to be clean. Amen, Miss Debbie. As long as we can keep a 55-gallon drum of bleach here, we'll be clean.
Amen.
Buy her stock in Bleach Company next year. Clorox, amen. That woman drinks Clorox. I couldn't talk this week. Most of the first part of the week, she was in here cleaning. Normally, I like scaring Debbie. She's a lot of fun to scare because she screams and jumps and wiggles, and it's great. She walked into the utility room. She had a cup in her hand. I just walked by and went like that. She goes, oh! She said, that's not fair. This is full of bleach. I thought, so what else is new? I thought it was her coffee cup. You know, what's the difference? She drinks the stuff. Don't touch my cup with your bleach. Amen. Now, listen to me. We might not be the fanciest place. We'll be clean. We'll be neat. But I don't know anywhere in the Bible where it says you have to have a fancy building. This building's not the prettiest building in the world. I'll agree with you. But it's the one God's given us to be in right now, and I think it's the greatest thing on earth. Oh, sure, we're going to improve it. Those of you that are visiting, you ought to see some pictures I have of the first time we moved in here. We had lovely carpet. I don't even know what color it was. Blue, gray, green. Most of it was black with tow motor tires and hydraulic oil on it. And I mean all over. When we pulled the carpet up to put the new carpet down, the concrete looked better. I thought, why didn't we do this before? Just have concrete floors. It was bad. It was horrendous. I don't know how much dirt we scrubbed off these walls that first week, but it was bad. It was real bad. We've come a long way to make it clean, comfortable, neat. I'd rather put the money we have back into the people and reach more people with it rather than build some big fancy building somewhere, spend $20 or $30 million on a building we don't need, we can't afford, and I'd rather take the extra $18 or $19 million and invest it into people versus a stupid building. Everybody doing all right? I'm for clean. I'm for neat. I'm for having nicer things as we can get them. But may I say this, we're not going to spend our whole life, I never one time worry about what I'm preaching. Well, if you say that, somebody might quit tithing. That's between them and God. I don't give a rip. It's His church. I'm supposed to tell the truth. I'm supposed to give the whole counsel of God. Doesn't matter who gets offended or not. Boy, I'm having fun. By the way, materialism is a god. We live in a world that we think if we say, well, I care about you, that means something. I've had a lot of people tell me they care about me, and man, they said, crawl out on this limb. When I got out on the limb, they crawled back and left the tree. Then they cut the tree down with me out on the limb. Oh, I care. The president tells you he cares. How much does he care? How much does Congress really care? In 6 years, the current administration has debt spent more than 43 presidents combined before him. In 6 years. By the way, the Republicans are letting him do it too. I'm not going there. This church is going to remain a hospital, not a museum. Amen. I'm going to read what I put in my notes. We're going to be a hospital to heal people, not a flop house to get more drugs. The average church is a flop house where people come in and, well, here's more drugs. Go back out and have a good week. No. When I went to the doctor on Monday and I had to tell the doctor what was wrong with me, I had to tell the doctor all the things that were wrong with me, and she had to look at me and say, you're in trouble. I said, I know, that's why I'm here. I did not like what she was going to tell me. I didn't go there and she'd say, oh, Craig, everything's all right. There's nothing wrong with you. I care about you and everything will be fine. No, I'd have been in the hospital or dead by now. I needed somebody to look me square in the eyeballs and say, hey, dude, you need some medicine. You need to slow down and knock it off. Now, I got two of the three, but the knock it off ain't coming yet. All right? Now, the average church gives people the same drugs inside as they get outside. We just mask it a little differently. The average church dopes you up to get your money. I want God to heal you. This isn't, oh, let's go to church and jump up and down and, oh, I feel so good. The music makes me feel so good. Oh, aren't we having so much fun? Shoot, I can only jump up and down so long and still have fun. I'm past that point in life, amen? A fella come in here one day. He said, boy, what a beautiful church building. I said, yes, sir. He said, this is perfectly set up. You know what you need? I said, what? He said, you need to bring some of these modern Christian groups in with the new music and the guitars, and you could have a real good dance service at your church with that big auditorium. I said, old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, King James only, Bible-thumping, hell-raising Baptist preacher. He said, one of those kind? I said, yep. He said, oh. He didn't stay very long after that. Oh, my daughter has so much fun. She goes to church and dances, and they jump up and down and swing and sway their hands. I said, not here. I said, she's going to keep her hands to herself, and she ain't going to jump up and down like that in my church. Amen. Everybody doing all right? I said, I'm not like the world. I want to be like God, not like the world. Amen. That went over like a lead balloon. Okay, here we go. By the way, we're going to use the Bible, we're going to use soul winning, we're going to use preaching as our method, not some cute non-church program. I'm not interested in the latest church program. Oh, are you going to have an addiction program? Yes, it's called soul winning and preaching. You know the best way to get a drunkard dry? Preach a snot out of him. Massive doses of scripture. Get them out caring about somebody other than themselves. That'll heal a drunk faster than anything. Promise you. Everybody doing all right? Oh, what do you do about smoking addiction? Preach to them holiness. Get them out soul winning. And when you start seeing people get saved, your desire to smoke drops dramatically. Promise you. Well, what about somebody with a cussing addiction? Two things. Preach to them and get them out soul winning. Do you know you don't win as many people to Christ when you're cussing them out? Now, I've been cussed out my fair share of times in soul winning. And I've never cussed back at any of them. I didn't even say Southern Baptist. Now, wait a minute. You get into a holiness by doing what God said, not by going through some cute non-church program. I'm just going to go ahead and say this and then I'll be done. We're not going to have gossip, criticism, or bitterness in our church. If you don't have something nice to say about somebody, my mom and dad are in Florida for a couple months. My dad would say, if you can't say something nice, shut your mouth. I'd say, well, that's not real kind. Well, what you were about to say wasn't real kind either. Well, I heard that's part of your problem. You're listening to the wrong thing. You know, I don't hear what's going on. People don't tell me because I keep telling people I'm not going to listen to it. I don't. I find out more things weeks, months, years later that I had no idea took place, brother. Gus, I'm not kidding. It's hilarious. People say, well, you know, no, I don't want to know. I was helping an assistant pastor, found out their church had some problems. I called him. I said, brother, just want you to know one thing. I love you. Heard you're going through some troubles. Just want you to know I love you. He said, yeah, been a little tough. I said, stop right there. He said, what? I said, stop right there. I don't want to know what happened. I said, don't give me any details. What can I do to encourage you? Do you know, to this day, I still don't know what happened, and I don't care. I haven't spent one second thinking about, oh, well, I wonder if it was this. I wonder if it was. I have no idea. I don't care. I didn't need to know to help him. I still have a good taste in my mouth. How about you? Some of you are so depressed because of the people you listen to. Quit listening to all the news. Quit listening to the weatherman. You can't believe him anyway. Good night. I have never seen our country so afraid of weather. I'm not kidding. Did you know when I was a kid, it rained? Now, it didn't before the flood, but it has since, okay? Did you know when I was a kid, it snowed? I know that's hard to believe. Did you know that when I was a child, the wind blew? And we had thunder and lightning? And even every once in a while, a few tornadoes. I've seen floods and played in them. Man, we used to stop up the culverts in the road to back up the water so we could play in the water, amen? That did not go over well with my dad. But anyway, we'll change that subject. Can I tell you something? Did you know that even if the weatherman's right, you can't change it? I've been in this area long enough, about 90% of the time the weatherman's wrong, just so you know. Oh, we're going to get hit with snow, and we don't get one flake. Oh, it's going to rain. 90% chance of rain we've seen for a whole week. I could spit more rain than we got today. It does the Martinsburg panhandle split, amen? Right around us. Now, if they say nor'easter, believe it. It's coming. Past that, we're safe. We get all freaked out. Oh, it's going to rain. Are we going to have church? Yes. Oh, it's going to snow. Are we going to have church? Yes. Well, it might storm. Are we going to have church? Yes. I don't care what the weather. Did you know I can preach in bad weather or good weather, hot weather or cold weather? We're going to have church. Now, if it's not safe for you to go, okay, but we're going to have it. You don't have to wonder. You're not going to see on the news, beep, 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 Grace Baptist Church of Martinsburg closed. Ain't going to happen. You don't even have to call me. Yes, we're open. If I've got to walk here, I'll walk here and we'll have church. I just believe in it. Boy, that's good. And I'm just going to finish. I'm going to read my conclusion and be done. Why do we allow our children to watch, listen to, dress like, and act like those on the other side of the flood? Why do we allow our children to have attitudes with authority like those on the other side of the flood? It's time for Grace Baptist Church to take a stand on this side of the flood like God wants us to take. It's time for us to quit acting like those on the other side of the flood. It's time we get involved in God's work, doing it God's way, getting out and going soul winning, getting involved in church, being faithful to church, doing the thing, singing the songs, and being a part of the church. Teenagers, listen to me. I've dealt with more teenagers in my life than most humans ever think about. I think one of the greatest bumper stickers I ever saw was, "I don't need drugs. I have teenagers," and that's as far from reality as I want to get. But that was one of the most humorous bumper stickers I ever saw. I have dealt with tens of thousands of teenagers. I understand what it's like to be a teenager. I was one not so awful long ago. Can I tell you something? I got more sense in that little finger than any teenager has in their whole head. I've experienced more life. That's not because I'm smarter. Some of you are probably more intelligent than I, but you don't have more experience than I. You don't know as much about life as I do because I've helped more people in life. Some of you just need to wisen up, wake up, listen to somebody that's got more sense than you think you have. If you ever want to know how to solve the world's problems, ask a college freshman. They got all the answers. It's great. Ask a high school senior. They know everything. Don't ask a junior higher. They know nothing. Now listen to me. God said for his people that they needed to quit. They had to make a decision. Serve the gods on the other side of the flood or to serve him. Let me ask you a question. What gods have you brought from the other side of the flood in your life? There is nothing new under the sun. When man is left to himself, he always goes back to what he knew. I have a sneaking suspicion there was even evolution before the flood. Say why? It's called humanism. Man worshiping man. Period. End of discussion. So, you choose. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. God or the gods from the other side of the flood that your fathers brought over from there. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In a moment, the music will play. We'll stand to our feet. Some of you young people and children and some of you parents need to hit this altar and make a decision. It doesn't have to be public. Some of you need to come bend your knee at this altar. Some of you struggle with things of your past. Time to hit this altar and do it God's way.